Hi, I'm Shashank Bhargav, and you're listening to Three Things, the Indian Express news show. In this episode, we talk about six statues part of the multi-crore Mahakal Lok Corridor project falling and getting damaged. We also talk about a part of an important bridge collapsing in Bihar once again. But first, we talk about the Odisha train crash. On Friday, India witnessed the worst train tragedy it has in over two decades. This happened when the coaches of the Coromandel Express derailed in Odisha after hitting a goods train. And what made it worse was that on the adjacent track that it fell on, it collided with a passenger train that was headed in the opposite direction. According to officials, 275 people have died as a result, while over 900 have been injured. In this segment, we speak to Indian Express's Sujit Bisoi, who has been reporting on the crash for the paper, about what led to it and the subsequent rescue operations. Sujit, there were essentially three trains that were involved in this tragedy. Could you begin by talking about what exactly happened, starting with the first train, the Coromandel Express?
So, well, it was like a normal day for the Shalimar Chennai Coromandel Express when it started its journey from the Shalimar in West Bengal. So at around 7 p.m. when the train was about to pass the Bahanaga Bazar station, it's in Baleshwar district of Orissa, the train suddenly rammed into a goods train that was standing on the loop line, and it was a disaster then.
And since you mentioned that the Coromandel Express was on the main line and the goods train was on the loop line, could you explain the difference between the two?
So the Coromandel Express was passing on the main line only. And loop line is something which are developed near the stations where the goods train are parked. So when the Coromandel Express was passed at around 7 p.m. the Bahanaga Bazar station in Odisha, the goods train was parked on the loop line only. Suddenly, the Coromandel Express changed the track and dashed to the goods train. And the goods train was loaded train that was carrying iron ore. So, the impact was massive on the Coromandel Express. The bogies were derailed and there was chaos everywhere. So, immediately after that, what happened? The derailed bogies of the Coromandel Express then hit the two bogies of Yashwantpur Havda Express that was returning from the opposite direction towards Havda.
Okay, so the coaches of the Coromandel Express, they hit the goods train that was standing. It derails and then collides with the Yashwantpur Havda Express that was going in the opposite direction on the adjacent track.
Yes, yes, exactly.
And how long did this entire thing take, of the Coromandel Express hitting the goods train that was stationary and then colliding with the Yashwantpur Havra Express, which was a passenger train?
See, everything happened within a few seconds only. The Coromandel Express first hit the goods train that was parked on the loop line. Then the derailed coaches of Coromandel Express collided with the two bogies. Basically, the train was passed and almost the Yashwantpur train that was coming from the opposite direction towards Howrah, that almost the train had passed except two bogies, to which the derailed coaches of Coromandel Express hit, and both the bogies also derailed.
Right, and what do we know about how this happened? How come the Coromandel Express ended up hitting the goods train that was on the other line?
Well, Shashank, there are several theories, but although the detailed probe report, which is being conducted by the Commissioner of Rail Safety, as per the standard practice of railway, that is yet to come, but there were some preliminary investigations. So one such investigation is indicating towards signaling issue, because of which that massive accident occurred.
Yeah, and we've also now heard from the Railway Minister Ashwini Vaishnaw, who has said that someone had changed the configuration of the signalling point on the track, which led to the Coromandel Express to enter the loop line. But again, it was not clear from his statement whether this was just a human error or whether there was a possibility of some kind of sabotage. And on Sunday, he also said that the Railway Board has now, in fact, recommended the case be handed over to the CBI.
जिस सिचुएशन में ये दुर्घटना हुई है और जो परिस्थितियां हैं उन सब को ध्यान में रखते हुए जो कुछ अब तक का एडमिनिस्ट्रेटिव इन्फॉर्मेशन मिली है उस सब को ध्यान में रखते हुए आगे की इंक्वायरी के लिए आगे के इन्वेस्टिगेशन के लिए इस केस को इस पूरे मामले को सीबीआई के पास देने का रेलवे बोर्ड की तरफ से रिकमेंडेशन किया जा रहा है।
बट सुजीत, व्हेन वी टॉक अबाउट द क्रैश इटसेल्फ, कैन यू टेल अस व्हाट कोचेस वर द मोस्ट अफेक्टेड एंड व्हाट काइंड ऑफ पैसेंजर्स वर दे कैरिंग?
See, most of the coaches which were affected in this accident were the general coaches and sleeper classes. And more than 10 coaches of Coromandel Express were capsized and 2 coaches of Yashwantpur Express were capsized. So both the coaches of Yashwantpur Express are general coaches and only 2 AC coaches of Coromandel Express were derailed and the rest were either general coaches, parcel van or sleeper classes. So most of the people, even whom I met yesterday in Bahanaga, Soro and Baleshwar in different hospitals, so they are like migrant laborers, someone who is going to far off Chennai, Kerala and other places for a livelihood. Someone is working in Vishakhapatnam. So most of the people are in like this class, only working class people who were affected by this accident.
And what happened immediately after this? How soon did the rescue teams arrive?
Well, when we talking about the rescue operation, we should not forget to mention about the local villagers and other youth organizations who were the first responders actually. Even before the NDRF, Odisha Fire Service and other police officials were reached the spot, after listening this loud noise and coming to know about this incident, they moved to the spot immediately. There was pitch dark in the place according to some locals whom we talked yesterday. So according to them, they tried climbed atop the derailed coaches, then they tried to rescue some people. As far as possible, they tried their best. And even some locals had taken this injured persons on their shoulders to the hospital, nearest hospital, because there was no vehicle. That was quite unorganized because local people were doing that. So after that, even Odisha government was acted promptly in that situation. They sent immediately the fire service team, police, then NDRF was also coordinated, who sent as many as 9 teams. So everything started after that.
And after these teams arrived, what were some of the main challenges that they faced there?
Well, the major challenge was to coordinate, because Bahanaga and Baleshwar is a small town. It's not like Bhubaneswar or something, you will have thousands of police fire service personnel, you will rush immediately. So reaching the spot was the main challenge, according to those who were engaged in that. And second was, it was pitch dark, so lights taken by the Odisha Fire Service and NDRF, that those were arranged with some temporary arrangement. And yeah, rescuing during the night is also a challenge at them. But initially, the officer clearly chalked out the strategy, rescue operation. Initially, they tried to rescue all those who were alive and ambulances were arranged to send them to the nearby hospital. Not just in Baleshwar, to the nearby hospitals, including in Cuttack and Bhubaneswar. Later, once all the people who were alive, who were seeking medical help and others who were not even injured, but they were trying to head back to their homes. After that exercise was done, then they started pulling out the bodies from the derailed trains.
Right, and we understand that some people have sustained some very serious head injuries. Others have broken their hands and legs as well. They were immediately rushed to the nearby hospitals, of course. But could you talk about the kind of pressure this put on a place like Baleshwar, which we know is not a very big town?
Of course, there was pressure because hospitals in Baleshwar or in Vadrak, those were handling maximum 50 to 60% a day. But in case of a tragedy, they were not in a position. So government arranged vehicles, even at a time there was no ambulance. So they arranged buses, because those who were with minor injuries, they were sent to hospitals in a bus to nearby hospitals. So that is why then more than 50 or 60 doctors were immediately after the incident from the nearby districts. They were sent to the hospitals in Baleshwar and Bhadrak.
Yeah, and you also write that at the time when people were being admitted to hospitals, hundreds of volunteers queued up at the blood banks to donate blood, right?
See, there should be no hesitation to praise these locals who were not only the first responders to rescue these stranded passengers, but they also took them to hospitals. Some even tried to mingle them with their families, because even in a tragedy of this volume, there was chaos everywhere. Even if those who were alive at that time, they were not able to meet with their co-passengers. So these locals were helping them. Initially, there were no ambulances, because ambulances came only after 30 or 40 minutes after the incident. So some locals even carried the injured who who were with minor injuries to nearby hospitals on their soldiers. And there were huge loss because in a train accident, many people were severely injured. So considering the need for blood, more than 500 youths from Baleshwar and nearby areas, they rushed to the blood bank at the Baleshwar district hospitals and stood on the queue to donate blood for that, which was appreciated by the chief minister and the prime minister.
And Sujit, you also spoke to some of the survivors. Tell us what they told you about what they recall about the moment the incident happened.
So we spoke to some of the survivors who were saying suddenly they came to know, listen, a huge noise. Then there was darkness everywhere. People started falling on one after another.
मेरे को थोड़ा आग लग गया था, इसलिए सोया था। उसी टाइम जब गाड़ी पलटी हुआ, तब हमारा नींद तोड़ गया, ठीक है? उस टाइम देखा, हमारा जो बोगी में जितना आदमी था, रिजर्वेशन बोले तो जनरल का जैसा है, तो 10-15 आदमी मेरा बदन के ऊपर पूरा आके गिर गया। जब
So I met a group of 9 people who were going to Chennai. So one father lost his son and he said he carried the body of his son in his own hand. That was the tragic scene. Some people in Yeshwantpur Howrah Express, they might have reached to their home in just 2 hours had the train been reached in station. But before that, everything finished.
Okay, and you know, after the rescue operations were over, the focus was on the people who had died and the challenge of identifying the bodies. Talk to us about what we saw in that regard.
So bodies were first stored in a school nearby the accident spot only. So the relatives or family members of those who knew that their relatives had traveled on that day in both the trains, they were coming to the schools just to identify the bodies who were with the body bags. They were just opening the body bags, remove the cloths from the face just to identify. That was a very tragic scene, heart-wrenching scene yesterday in the school. As far as official figures are concerned, today out of 275 bodies, 88 have already been identified and handed over to their family members. And 87 bodies are yet to be identified by the officials. And now today, the state government had done one thing. They have clicked photos of all the deceased and injured, and they have published the photos only to help the family members to recognize, not for any other purposes. They have published it in 3 government websites so that people, instead of rushing to the hospitals or to the control room, they can have a look at that and then move to accordingly.
And Sujit, will there be any compensation that will be granted to the families of the victim?
Railway has already announced compensation of 10 lakh each to the next of the kin of those who had died on the spot. Different state governments, Odisha government had today announced compensation of 5 lakh for the family members of the deceased from Odisha only. Accordingly, different state governments have announced different packages.
And next we talk about the Mahakal Lok Corridor project, which is a massive 850 crore rupees project that has been underway in Madhya Pradesh's Ujjain district.
So the Mahakal Lok project is basically a project of expansion, beautification or decongestion of the Mahakaleshwar temple and its adjoining areas in Ujjain district.
That's Indian Express's Anand Mohan, who reports on Madhya Pradesh for the paper.
So this Mahakaleshwar, which basically means Lord of Time, it basically refers to Lord Shiva. This temple in its present form was built by Maratha General Ranoji Shinde in 1734 AD.
And this temple is considered one of the most sacred abodes of Lord Shiva. Thousands of devotees from across the country visit this temple every year.
So this project was an expansion project which was supposed to increase the annual footfall to over 3 crore people. And there was supposed to be a 900-meter pedestrian corridor which connects to the Mahakal Temple, and it's supposed to have like over 100 murals, over 160 statues depicting various stories related to Lord Shiva.
And now as part of this multi-crore project, which was inaugurated by PM Modi last year, 7 idols of Saptarishis, or 7 sages, were also installed there. But last week, 6 of them collapsed and got damaged. And this once again led to a political slugfest between the Shivraj Singh Chauhan-led BJP government and the Congress party, which is the main opposition in the state. To know more about this issue, my colleague Utsha Sermon speaks to Anand in this segment.
So Anand, do we know why the 6 statues of the Mahakal Lok Corridor project collapsed?
So at the time, what had happened is that last week, really high speed winds had sort of like hit the area. And because of that, these statues, which were placed on an elevated pedestal, they'd fallen. One of the statues had suffered severe damage, while the other statues had also fallen down. So 6 out of these statues had fallen down. What happened right after that was a political storm had sort of like been set off, with the Congress party going on the offensive over this. And the party had made allegations of corruption related to this project. In fact, if you look at it, this project had run into controversy right from the beginning. Because, you know, the Shivraj Singh Chauhan government has been trying to claim that they are the ones who completed this project, and that they are the ones who had done a bulk of the work. Whereas the Congress party under Kamal Nath said that, you know, that it was his government which drew the sketch of the Mahakal temple project, and that they had allocated 300 crores for it, and that they were the ones who finalized the plan in time-bound manner.
Right, and the Congress party has also been leveling allegations of corruption against the BJP government ever since the project was inaugurated, right?
Yeah, so right from the start, like just a few weeks after Narendra Modi had inaugurated the temple corridor, the local Congress MLA Mahesh Parmar had filed a complaint with the Lokayukta. And he is the one who had made allegations of financial irregularities, you know, where he said that this tender was given to a Gujarat-based company without following many rules and regulations. And right after these statues had sort of like fallen down, the Congress party has been making allegations that the statues have been made out of weak material. They had made allegations that a lot of the material has been sourced from Chinese materials. They said that it is impossible for a statue of that height and of that weight to have so easily fallen down because of gutsy winds. So they're making allegations that it's made out of substandard material, and then BJP government in a hurry to finish the project so that Prime Minister Narendra Modi can inaugurate the project in a time-bound manner, they rush through the project and then they cut corners.
Okay, and could you talk about how the BJP government has been responding to these allegations?
So the BJP government has been on the back foot when it comes to these allegations. The BJP has basically been defending its decision to use fiber reinforced plastic to make these statues. The Minister of Urban Development and Housing, Bhupendra Singh, had himself addressed a press conference where he said that this way of making statues has been seen across the country, whether it comes to Akshardhar Temple in Delhi or the Kingdom of Dreams in Gurgaon. He's been saying that this is sort of like a futuristic material and this is how statues are made, and it's quite cost effective. And then he also made allegations that, you know, that when it came to issuing of work orders and the decisions surrounding the sculpture and the artwork was all taken when the Congress party was in government. So the minister has been saying that if at all some sort of corruption has taken place, which hasn't, but if at all it has taken place, then it must have taken place during the Congress party government, and that the Congress party, if they are making allegations of corruption, should come forward and present their evidence. This is what Mr. Singh has been saying. If you look at it, this is the same line of defense which is echoed by the lead architect of the project and the lead sculptors of the project, who have been saying that it's best to use reinforced plastic fiber to make statues because it's malleable, because they can sort of like move the material around, because it is difficult and time-bound to make stone statues, that it takes like a highly skilled labor to make these stone statues or like statues made of bronze or metal, and that these statues don't really hold on when it comes to environmental factors. But then, however, these FRP statues did get damaged due to an environmental factor, which was wind. So the people involved in the project are of the view that they probably did not take that into account, because there was no proper anchorage which could sort of like support these statues and keep them grounded on the pedestal, that they are now sort of like looking to create such structures, and they're also looking at probably replacing these statues with stone statues in the future.
And so Anand, does that mean the cost of this 850 crore rupees project will go up even further now?
Yeah, so it is expected to increase the cost, but this has come because the Congress party has been on a blitz. They've been making allegations of corruption, and as we can see that because of that pressure, they've sort of like gone on the back foot, because you must understand that not only are these Congress party making allegations of corruption, they've been taking a consistent line of attack where they're saying that the BJP government has sinned against God, that they have done corruption against God. They're saying things like, you know, that plastic statues should not be put in a holy site, Ideally, stone statues should be put, so that's an insult to our religion. They said that when they went to the site, they found these statues under repair, and then they've been hidden, and broken statues have been kept there. So then they said that, you know, that our religion forbids keeping broken statues in a temple. So then the government had to shift the statues out overnight. So the government has pretty much been on the defensive when it comes to this issue.
Right, and considering that this is an election year for the state, is this likely to become a poll issue as well?
So what we can see is the Congress party attacking the BJP government over local infrastructure projects, which is coming under the scanner for not really taking off. The Congress party has been raising hyper-local issues over the past few months, where they've been asking the BJP government about what has happened to several infrastructure projects, including colleges and hospitals were supposed to come up. They've been attacking the government over nursing colleges scam. There were supposed to be nursing colleges which did not. On paper, they're nursing colleges, but on the ground level, they were not nursing colleges. So the CBI is investigating that case. There's the case of the Karam Dam, where the dam had developed cracks, because of which now repair works have been underway for over 9 months. And people in that area have sort of been waiting for water for over 9 months in that area to help in irrigating their fields. So the Congress party has been attacking the BJP over these infrastructure issues. And the Mahakal Lok right now appears to be the number one line of attack when it comes to infrastructure issues. And plus, it's also an issue where they can attack the BJP on religion. So we are yet to see how this shapes in the larger narrative building that the Congress party is currently involved in.
And in the end, we give you a quick update about a bridge collapse in Bihar. On Sunday, about 300 meters of a bridge that was being built on the river Ganga between Aghuwani Ghat and Sultanganj in Bihar collapsed after three of its pillars caved in. A few people close to the bridge had a narrow escape, and its visuals were captured by the locals nearby. Now, this bridge, which is supposed to be 3.1 kilometers long, is being constructed by SP Singla Constructions Private Limited since 2014. And is worth over 1700 crore rupees. And what is worth noting is that this is actually the second time in over a year that the superstructure or the final cast of the bridge has collapsed. Indian Express's Santosh Singh in his piece points out that back in April 2022, the superstructure of about 100 feet had collapsed because of strong winds and rainfall. In response to the latest collapse, Bihar Chief Minister Nitish Kumar has ordered a probe into the incident and has asked to identify those responsible for it. Meanwhile, the leader of opposition in Bihar, Vijay Kumar Singh, reacting to the incident, slammed the Nitish Kumar-led government. News agency ANI reported him saying, quote, "There's a tradition of seeking commissions. It is a consequence of this mentality and political instability that there's administrative anarchy and corruption. The system is collapsing, but they are talking about opposition unity," unquote. The four-lane bridge in question, which was supposed to be completed in 2019, is one of the biggest bridges coming up over River Ganga and is considered significant because it will link the northern part of Bihar to its southern part. You were listening to Three Things by The Indian Express. Today's show was edited and mixed by Suresh Pawar and produced by Uchha Sermon and me, Shashank Bhargav. If you like the show, then do subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. You can also recommend the show to someone you think will like it. Share it with a friend or someone in your family. It's the best way for people to get to know about us. You can also tweet us at Express Audio and write to us at podcast@indianexpress.com.